Good morning and welcome to worship on this first Sunday in Advent. And welcome to those worshiping with us from home. We're glad that you're with us. We begin the service with our brief order of confession and forgiveness. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin before God and one another, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. On that word of grace and promise, I invite you to take a moment for self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. Amen. And now, as our tradition begins with Advent and the lighting of the candles, I invite you to join your hearts with me in prayer. We praise you, O God, for this evergreen crown that marks our days of preparation for Christ's Advent. As we light the first candle on this wreath, rouse us from sleep, that we may be ready to greet our Lord when he comes with all the saints and angels. Enlighten us with your grace and prepare our hearts to welcome him with joy. Grant this through Christ our Lord, whose coming is certain and whose day draws near. Amen. And please stand for our opening hymn. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Christ, and come. By your merciful protection, alert us to the threatening dangers of our sins, and redeem us for your life of justice. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated and prepare your hearts and your ears to hear the Word of God.
Our Old Testament lesson this morning is from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. And in most of the book of Jeremiah, God is pleading with his people to turn away from worshiping the Baals and to worship God, or he is going to send them into exile. But in these verses 32 and 33, God is making a promise, especially to the people of Judah, the southern kingdom where Jerusalem is, that after 70 years in exile in Babylon, their descendants will be returned to Jerusalem, and all that has been taken from them will be restored. And these verses are believed by the Christian church to refer to Jesus, the Messiah. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you. Our epistle lesson this morning is from Paul's first letter to the church in Thessalonica. At this time, Paul is in prison in Rome, and he sent his protege, Timothy, off to Thessalonica in Greece to see how those Thessalonians are doing. I am going to start with verse 6. Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love. He has told us also that you always remember us kindly and long to see us, just as we long to see you. For this reason, brothers and sisters, during all our distress and persecution, we have been encouraged about you through your faith. For we now live, if you continue to stand firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you, in return for all the joy that we feel before our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see your face, see you face to face, and restore whatever is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we abound in love for you. And may the Lord so strengthen your hearts in holiness that you may be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Gospel according to Luke, the 21st chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Then Jesus told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you might have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. So allow me to be the first to say to you, Happy New Year. Some of you who aren't longtime members might wonder what I'm talking about. It's the end of November. But Happy New Year. Our church year has ended, and today is the start of the new year. That's what we do every year at Advent. And so this week, it's the first week of Advent, is the beginning of our new year. So how are we going to kick it off? Well, our gospel reading puts us in a place that isn't usually the introduction to anything. It is talking about Advent, that is, what is coming, but it's not talking about waiting and hoping for the Messiah to finally be born, that as we saw in Second Temple Judaism and Jeremiah and Isaiah and so on. Instead, what's coming for us? Us waiting for the Messiah to return at the end of days and to establish the new creation with the new heavens and the new earth. So, we start a new year talking about the end, at the end of days. And then throughout this Advent season, we'll be working backward to eventually getting to Christmas and talking about the beginning. So how can we talk about the end days? And when we consider it, I might ask you a question. What feelings stir up for you when you hear about the end of days? What things come to mind? And for me, I have to say, what really comes to mind is starting to see some things from apocalyptic films with massive destruction. And I have to say, if I'm starting to think of Hollywood entertainment, I have to admit I pretty much don't have much to hold on to. And then if I ask a second question, the end of days as far as the tribulation, you might have some images in mind, but then talk about the new creation, the new heavens and the new earth, a new kind of harmony like we've never seen. And for me, I really can't fathom that at all. It doesn't feel very real. It starts to feel really abstract. It's so beyond what I can picture. I can't really grasp it unless I make it a really abstract principle. And I feel like that is something that happens very often, even in our smaller sense, when we say a new era has come about. In fact, when we hear about a new era has dawned, frequently we're told by cultural critics a few years after the event happened that something new had occurred. But at the time, of course, we weren't quite aware. It becomes an incredibly abstract thing and not very concrete. And even when the event is clear, it can also seem pretty abstract because things that bring in new eras are huge events so big that they're hard to fathom. As my own life, a time I can share that's sort of similar is November 1989. I was 6 years old. Many of you will remember this very vividly, but for me, I was a child. And I was told that a cataclysmic event had occurred. The world would never be the same. The Berlin Wall had come down. It was a sign that our posture was moving from the Cold War and military-industrial complex to one where there might be some level of peace and harmony, maybe relief. And then for the next several years in elementary school, which I remember far better, we talked a lot about post-Soviet Russia and what that would mean. And as a child, though, it didn't really resonate very well. I couldn't understand, what was the Soviet Union? What was the Berlin Wall? After all, what was Berlin? You know, all of these were really vague ideas that were told to me. I could tell that some, when people would talk about it, when adults would talk about it, they had a different kind of attitude, and you could see the relief in their bodies and all of this. But for me, it didn't mean a lot because it was so abstract. A world that I didn't know anything about apparently had changed. And in Mount Angel, Oregon, where I lived on the dairy, things were going on pretty much as normally. In fact, completely normally. My chores were still my chores. So I wasn't really sure what happened, but apparently things were different. Sometimes, in that picture of a child looking on some big event, is sometimes how I feel like this discussion of the end of days could be. It's so different and it's so other that we can't really understand what this really would mean. So we just kind of go back to our daily activities with some idea in our mind. And so here today, though, we have our reading from the Gospel of Luke. And the Gospel of Luke's version of Jesus talking about when he will return is different from all of the other Gospels because Luke includes something none of the other Gospels do. It focuses on the end, but not as much on what Jesus is going to do cataclysmically. It does include some of that, but the emphasis is on people. In fact, Luke invites us in our text into seeing two human responses to these events. There in verse 26, people will faint from fear and foreboding. That word faint is actually the word for choking from lack of breath. That's how they translate it as faint. But it actually includes also suffocation. People were choking and dying. But note how. It wasn't from the cataclysmic event directly, from the, you know, whatever the big natural disaster, but from fear and from the foreboding of what they could see happening. The events aren't specific, but the fears of people are what are causing them to choke from lack of breath. Fears. Instead, the people of God are called to stand up, raise their heads, for your redemption is drawing near. Not on how the great events will occur. Jesus will appear in a cloud. How do we fathom that? What would Jesus be doing? What does that look like? But our gospel isn't interested in just explaining that clearly. What's not hard to fathom is what people are called to fear, are called to do. People to stand up rather than cower in fear. To raise their heads. The reason Luke does this is that a fundamental component of Luke is that it's about people. It's about the real world we live in, not an abstraction of an idealized world either in the present or in the future. It's fundamentally about us. So Luke invites us to do something odd with the end times rhetoric. Look to ourselves. In fact, that's what it literally says there in their third paragraph where it says, be on guard. That much more literalistically, it says, pay attention to yourselves. Or maybe get hold of yourselves. It is asking for grounding yourself in who you are. And one of the fundamental reasons for this is that Luke recognizes that the world we live in is full of problems and in pain. What Luke is reacting to are those who were so excited about Jesus' return that they withdrew from normal life and were just waiting around for Jesus to come back and solve all their problems for them. In fact, in our second lesson from 1 Thessalonians, a little later on, Paul notes that there are some people who quit going to work because they thought Jesus was going to come so soon and solve everything for them. Luke agrees there's huge problems in the world. There is a present evil age and that we are living in the power of sin and the power of death around us every day. But instead of waiting around for Jesus to enact the kingdom of God, Luke proclaims, the kingdom of God is among you and you have a role in enacting that kingdom. And so we see our dichotomy here today. How will we concretely act in the world today? Is it choking from fear and foreboding or standing up and lifting our heads. The events might be abstract and hard to fathom, but the response of us is very clear and very real and very concrete. Jesus actually only used those same verbs, cowering down and standing up, one other time. A very brief story about meeting the woman who had been hemorrhaging for 18 years and just doubled over in pain. And when Jesus heals her, she's able to stand upright and begins praising God. That's the dichotomy Jesus is talking about. Being doubled over by fear and pain, and the release of that pain that can allow standing up and raising our heads. It is the human condition of being in fear and pain. Some of that fear and pain, of course, is external. For example, the climate crisis we're facing causes fear and foreboding for what's next as it becomes harder and harder to find optimism. The verb there, choking from lack of breath, becomes less and less abstract every summer with our increasing wildfires and worse quality of air. The fear often comes from the frustration of the problem seeming so large and our motivation and organization and actions in response seeing so small in comparison. The burdens are from without, but they live in us and they bend us downward. But also that the problems we create for ourselves are places where we've acted as we should not, where we've hurt others, where we've been living in our bondage to sin. And those things that we hold in us in guilt and in shame for the wrongs we've done and continue to do, all of those bend us down. They burden us. They cause us to choke from the lack of air, from the fear, the guilt, the shame, and the pain of them all. Those aren't some abstract ideals from what's going to happen a long time from now. They're right now. And further, Jesus assures us to stand up and raise your head because your redemption has drawn near. Jesus' return isn't just the final scene of a three-act play that ties up the conclusion but carefully doesn't add anything. Jesus' return is itself the act of salvation, your redemption. While you're doubled over in that fear and pain, Jesus redeems you, buys you back. And in that grace, Jesus is the one who stands you up and lifts your head. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were doubled over in pain, Christ raised you up. And just as with the woman with the hemorrhages who Jesus heals, our posture moves from being doubled over in pain to standing up and worshiping. Praising God, as it says in our text, remaining awake and praying, being part of the entire community together as those who've been raised up from their burdens by Christ and the Christ who redeems us. Amen. Now let's take that action together and stand for the next hymn.
With the whole church, let us confess our Christian faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through whom all things are made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified with Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of the sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. In this season of watching and waiting, let us pray for all people and places that yearn for the healing and comforting presence of God. God of hope, strengthen your church around the globe to proclaim the message of your love. Open our eyes to recognize the face of Christ in all people and open our hearts to extend your mercy and grace. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God of all creation, provide a healing balm to soothe this wounded planet. Equip and empower us to nurture and care for the earth and all living things. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God of equity and compassion, bring peace to people of all nations. Send us courageous leaders with discerning minds and open hearts to govern with integrity and justice for all. Lord, in your mercy.
God of comfort and care, be present with those who watch and wait. Come to all who are in need of healing. We remember this day Shannon Allison, Lou Berg, Terry Chapp, Linnea Embleton, Carolyn and Bob Evans, Arlene Fors, Alona Johnson, Keith Jurasovich, Helen Knebel, Joy Lathrop, Shirley Watson, Jean Youngquist, and all those who suffer in silence, in secret, or in shame. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of companionship, and community, we give you thanks for the saints who journeyed with us and who now find their rest in your loving care. Be with all for whom death draws near. And even in times of uncertainty, make us confident that your promises endure forever. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy. Receive these prayers spoken aloud as well as those held silently within our hearts. This we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Thank you.
Let us pray. God of our waiting and watching, we offer the gifts of our hearts and our lives to the service of all your people. Prepare the way before us as we meet you in this simple meal. Through Christ Jesus, our pathway and our peace. Amen.
It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, Almighty and ever-living God. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you also will make all things new in the day when he comes again to judge the world in righteousness. And so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth. In mercy for our fallen world, you gave your only Son, that all those who believe in him should not perish, but may have eternal life. We give thanks to you for the salvation you have prepared for us through Christ Jesus. Send now your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may receive our Lord with a living faith as he comes to us in his Holy Supper. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await Christ's coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray together the prayer Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God given freely to us, the people of God. I invite you to come forward today down the center aisle, surrounding at the altar railing. You can stand or kneel, or if you want to wait in the front pew, we will come and serve you. But come, for all is now ready, and it is Christ who bids you come. And now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Most High God, you have come among us at this table. By the Spirit's power, form us to be bearers of your word, sharing gifts of mercy and grace with all people and all of creation. Through Christ Jesus, our host and our guest. Amen. Please stand. And now receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Go in peace. Christ is near. Thanks be to God.